Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm your host, Rick Black. I hope everyone is doing well. Starting to warm up here. We're in our last few weeks of great weather, and then it's going to get crazy hot and humid, and that's going to last until next November. We have two seasons here, fall slash spring and summer, or the wet season and the dry season. When it gets hot, the only time I can walk Charlie is early in the morning. It's just too hot after that for my black lab. Today, we're going to talk about our former 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who, at the time of this podcast, is the oldest living and actually the oldest ever former president at 99. I remember when he was president. My family was traveling through Georgia on the way to my aunt's house in Atlanta, and we took a little detour so we could go through Plains, Georgia, where the peanut farmer turned president was from. There's a picture of me in an ugly striped tank top sitting on a bench in Plains, Georgia. If I can find that picture at my mother's house, I may have to post that somewhere. Well, maybe you've heard and maybe you haven't, but when Jimmy Carter was the governor of Georgia, or just before he became the governor of Georgia, he saw a UFO. Now, any public figure who admits that he's seen a UFO and goes public with that information, they can usually kiss their political career goodbye. That didn't happen here. Here's the story. One evening in 1969, he put October in his report, but it was probably January 6th of 1969, according to Grant Cameron. Jimmy Carter was preparing to give a speech at the Lions Club meeting. This was 2 years before he would become the 76th governor of Georgia. He was standing outside the Lions Club in Leary, Georgia, waiting for the meeting to start. Suddenly, he and 10 or more witnesses saw a red and green orb radiating in the western sky. Carter described an object that, quote, seemed to move toward us from a distance, stop, move partially away, return, then depart. Bluish at first, then reddish, luminous, not solid. He said, at times it was as bright as the moon and about as big as the moon, maybe a little bit smaller, but the object was luminous, not solid, end quote. In an interview with the Atlanta Constitution, Carter described the moving nature of the event. He described the sighting as a, quote, very remarkable sight, end quote. According to Cameron, this is an important event because many of the skeptical investigations done on the Carter sighting have tried to paint the event as a, quote, ho-hum occurrence, end quote. None of the descriptions Carter has made of the event have ever described it as ho-hum. Jimmy Carter's mother, Lillian, also confirmed that Carter had been very impressed by what he had seen. She said, quote, the UFO made a huge impression on Jimmy. He told me about the sighting many times. He's always been a down-to-earth, no-nonsense boy, and the sighting by him, as far as I'm concerned, is as firm as money in the bank, end quote. Carter had, in fact, described the UFO sighting many times in years since it occurred. In every instance, including the latest known telling of the story at Emory University in 1997, Carter has never backed off on the spectacular nature of the event. He has also never conceded that what he saw was some misidentification of a natural phenomena. Carter estimated that the object was 300 to 1,000 yards away. He estimated that the event lasted 10 minutes. Then the object disappeared. Carter was so impressed by what he had seen, he recorded his impressions of the event on a tape recorder at the time. In the ensuing years, there have been a great deal of discussion as to what the UFO had been. Skeptical UFO buffs, such as Robert Schaefer, struggling to explain Jimmy Carter's sighting away by stating that Carter had viewed the planet Venus. Schaefer, the vice chairman of the UFO Subcommittee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, wrote up his guess as to what the object Carter and the others had seen in the July 1977 Humanist magazine. Many UFO researchers, wanting to show that they too can be discriminating, joined in stating Carter had viewed the planet Venus. Others stepped forward quickly to challenge the accuracy of Schaefer's claim. Shaver's response to these challenges ended up taking his Venus explanation from the shaky to the bizarre. For example, Shaver argued UFO researchers challenging his conclusions were wrong because they relied on eyewitness testimony, and eyewitness testimony is unreliable. There are, Shaver wrote, quote, volumes of scientific analysis documenting unreliability of unsubstantiated human eyewitness testimony, end quote. Yet Shaver, in his own analysis of the case, has used eyewitness testimony for 100% of the data that he collected to come to his Venus conclusion. In a response to a letter written to the Skeptical Inquirer by John Beckjord, published in the winter of 1980 and 81, Skeptical Inquirer, Shaver cited four books and articles Beckjord could refer to that would show that you, quote, can't take unsubstantiated testimony at face value, end quote. In the very next sentence of his reply, however, Shaver retreated to eyewitness testimony, quote, I note that Beckjord failed to mention, Shaver wrote, that many UFO proponents agree with me that the Carter UFO sighting is a very poor one and that another Georgian standing with Carter, as my humanist piece makes clear, was quite unimpressed with the light they saw in the sky. End quote. Shaver's Venus conclusion relied on the assumption that Carter's eyewitness testimony was inaccurate, but the other eyewitness accounts are accurate. In the end, it is safe to conclude that the object was not Venus, no matter how bad witness testimony might have been. A review of the evidence would show Venus was in the southwestern sky on January 6, 1969, not in the west as claimed by Shaver. Carter, who had spent watches while in the Navy, doing watches on cruisers and destroyers, as a navigation officer, taking star shots with a sextant, stated the object was in the western sky. Carter described the object as being the size of the moon, or slightly smaller than the apparent size of the moon. Venus never appears this way. Venus at the time was at between 15 and 21 degrees over the horizon at 7:15 p.m. Carter, a trained observer, stated that the object was 30 degrees above the horizon, or almost double the height of Venus at the time. Shaver described Venus as being at its brightest on the date in question. It wasn't at its brightest. And finally, the witnesses declared that the object disappeared after 10 minutes, or at 7:25. Venus, on the evening in question, was visible in the clear sky until 9:20 p.m. If it had been Venus, it would still have been visible for another 115 minutes after the witnesses claimed it had disappeared in the clear sky. These 115 minutes, the planet's Venus, would have increased in brightness, not disappeared, as it approached the horizon. Venus does not appear and would have been eliminated as a suspect by a grade 6 astronomy class investigation. Regardless of what the future president saw on that cold, clear night in 1969, it greatly impressed him. He spoke of the sighting to many people, including his press secretary, Jody Powell. Asked about the UFO event, Powell said, quote, I do remember Jimmy saying that he did, in fact, see a strange light or object at night in the sky which did not appear to be a star or planet or anything that he could explain. If that's your definition of an unidentified flying object, then I suppose that it is correct. I would venture to say he has probably seen stranger and more unexplainable things than that just during his time in government, end quote. Many years after being president, when asked about the sighting by citizens, Carter would still describe in detail the events that he witnessed. On September 24, 1997, for example, Carter spoke at the 16th annual Emory Town Hall meeting in Atlanta. When the question and answer session began, the first question was about the UFO sighting that Carter had experienced 28 years before. As he had on so many previous occasions, Carter described in detail what he had seen. In conclusion to the story, he stated that he knew of no extraterrestrials, and he did not think any were on the UFO he saw. At the Southern Governors Conference a few years after the sighting, Carter said, quote, I don't laugh at people anymore when they say they've seen UFOs. I've seen one myself. It was the darndest thing I've ever seen. It was big. It was bright. It changed colors, and it was about the size of the moon. End quote. In 1975, Carter again mentioned the UFO as he was campaigning for president. He told a Washington Post reporter, quote, "A light appeared and disappeared in the sky. It got brighter and brighter. I have no idea what it was. I think the light was beckoning me to run in the California primary." End quote. He probably should have left that last comment out. It sounds a little bonkers. Maybe he just said that for the press. Who knows? Here's the best comment of the whole thing. In June 1976, Jimmy Carter was quoted by the National Enquirer as promising, quote, "If I become president, I'll make every piece of information this country has about UFO sightings available to the public and scientists. I am convinced that UFOs exist because I have seen one." End quote. The powers that be, whoever they are, were alerted by this comment, and there was no way that Jimmy Carter was going to be able to fulfill that last promise. It was not up to him, even as President of the United States. A former Defense Intelligence Agency official, a senior Stanford Research Institute policy analyst, and famed constitutional attorney Daniel Sheehan have all confirmed that President Carter's attempts to obtain UFO information was thwarted by illegal actions by rogue military and intelligence entities. Makes you wonder who's in charge, doesn't it? It certainly isn't the president. If you've seen the movie Dave with Kevin Klein, then you remember he's acting as president, but he wasn't in charge of anything. I think that part is closer to reality than we really want it to be. The Disclosure Project, which is a nonprofit research interest group based in Charlottesville, Virginia, obtained testimony from multiple independent corroborating sources that President Carter was denied access to sensitive UFO files. Dr. John Maynard, Defense Intelligence Agency, retired, said, quote, "I'm a retired intelligence analyst, was in the military for 21 years, and started off with the Army Intelligence Security Agency as an analyst. I went to work for several different organizations with the military and ended up with the DIA, in charge of the documents for the Requirements and Evaluation Division. In Europe, I researched these UFO reports, and we got quite a bit of information about sightings, drawings of what the vehicles looked like, whether they landed or not, whether they saw any extraterrestrials. It made for an exciting career. They, the reports, were going to the CIA, the DIA, the Air Force Office of Special Intelligence, but as far as UFO intelligence and extraterrestrial matters go, it's right at the top. And I would say that the president has limited knowledge of it. I know that Carter did not have any knowledge whatsoever, and I worked there with President Carter's organization." End quote. Dr. Alfred Weber, senior policy analyst, said, quote, "I hold a BS degree from Yale, a law degree from Yale Law School, a master's of education and counseling from UT. I was a senior policy analyst for the Center for Study of Social Policy at Stanford Research Institute. I worked on the 1977 Carter White House Extraterrestrial Communication Project. The goal of the study was to fill the knowledge gap on this subject and would include data on UFOs and EBEs, which are extraterrestrial biological entities, of which there have been many sightings. I would have gone to as many foreign countries as possible, France, then the Soviet Union, China, under the aegis of the National Science Foundation. But the project was terminated. They, management of SRI, had received direct communications from the Pentagon that if the study went forward, SRI's contracts with the Pentagon, which were many, would be terminated. He, my SRI Pentagon liaison, stated that the project that had just been approved by the White House was terminated because, and I'm quoting him, there are no UFOs." End quote. Daniel Sheehan, attorney, said, quote, "I'm a 1967 graduate of Harvard Law School, studied American government and constitutional law, served as general counsel and co-counsel for the New York Times in the Pentagon Papers case, and was involved in briefing and arguing the case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. represented James McCord in the Watergate burglary. I subsequently attended the Harvard Divinity School in Judeo-Christian Social Ethics and Public Policy, did my master's and PhD work there. I became the general counsel for the U.S. Jesuit headquarters in D.C. in 1977. I was contacted by the director of the Science and Technology Division of the Congressional Research Service. She informed me that President Carter had held a meeting with the director of the CIA, George Bush Sr., and demanded that he, Bush, turn over to the president the classified information about UFOs and the information that was in the possession of the U.S. intelligence community concerning the existence of ET intelligence. This information was refused to the President of the United States by the Director of the CIA. The DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, suspected that the President was preparing to reveal this information to the American public. End quote. The Disclosure Project's Director, Stephen M. Greer, MD, is calling for open congressional hearings into the UFO matter to explore this and other issues. Greer states, there are ongoing illegal covert programs that consider themselves above the law and have deliberately acted outside of constitutionally required control and oversight. These programs deal with UFO and extraterrestrial matters and new energy and propulsion technologies. They have consistently denied Congress and U.S. presidents access to these programs and constitute a grave threat to U.S. national security. Jimmy Carter wasn't the only president that dealt with the UFO topic. He was stonewalled. He couldn't get anywhere because the people, the intelligence Pentagon people, knew that he was going to go public with the information that he got. So they weren't going to give him anything. President Gerald Ford, when he was House Minority Leader, called for congressional inquiries into the nature of UFO sightings, but he did nothing on the subject while he was president. But while he was a Michigan congressman, he got his inquiry. On April 5, 1966, Congress held an open hearing on UFOs, which at the time was an unprecedented move. While the hearing failed to accomplish as much as it might have, it produced an Air Force promise that arrangements would be made for an impartial civilian investigation. On October 7, 1966, the Air Force announced that the University of Colorado would undertake an open-ended UFO study free of government influence. All of this was sparked by the UFO sighting in Dexter, Michigan, where J. Allen Hynek was told to explain the UFO away as swamp gas. Ford wanted to get to the bottom of it, but it looks like he was played. In the May 14, 1968 issue of Look magazine, author John G. Fuller exposed the Colorado University investigation as the farce that it actually was. Fuller, leaving no room for doubt, listed so much evidence of the absurdities and ever-present negative attitude of the supposedly open-minded project director, the late Dr. Edward U. Condon, that a total waste of over a half million tax dollars was obvious. The Look piece, entitled Flying Saucer Fiasco, also included a statement by the then-director of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, a civilian UFO agency, Major Donald Kehoe, USCMC retired. Kehoe announced that NICAP would no longer support Colorado's work because its apparent bias against UFO subject. Gerald Ford was familiar with the Look article, and he, like many disillusioned Americans, finally realized that the UFO investigation he worked so diligently to get was in serious trouble. Well, that was it. Later, Ford became President of the United States, and he no longer seemed to be interested in finding the truth about UFOs. Or did he get a UFO briefing when he became president, and like all U.S. presidents, clammed up? Only Carter promised to tell the American people everything the government knows about UFOs and extraterrestrials, and he was denied everything. Does the government have crashed UFOs? Does the government have ETs? Is the government in communication with extraterrestrial races? So I found this article where Chuck Schumer introduced a UFO transparency bill after retired Air Force officer David Grush came forward with his UFO stories. According to the article by Trevor Tim, it was thwarted by a small group of Republicans. So, no transparency. Unfortunately, I don't have time to wade through that mess. I don't know Trevor Tim, but I do know how the press works, and I know how Congress works, and I don't believe anything politicians say. I don't want this to be even remotely political, so I'll just leave it there. I truly believe that the government knows a lot about ETs. I believe they mix lies with the truth to keep the truth from coming out. I believe that they have used UFO stories to hide secret military projects. Have they reverse engineered alien technology and military weapons? Has the military used private contractors to reverse engineer alien technology? In return for helping with this, has the government given private contractors some of that technology, like the technology to make these incredible cell phones that everybody's walking around with? I like to think that that was all created using human ingenuity, but you never know. And it doesn't look like the government is going to admit anything to us anytime soon. So there it is. Speaking of cell phones, what did we do before cell phones? How did we get anywhere? I remember going on long trips through multiple states using these huge foldy paper things called maps, and having no way to communicate with anyone outside the car to let them know I made it or how far away I was. I had to listen to the radio to get information like the weather or the scores for games, and I had to listen to the DJ to find out what song I was listening to. What if I was watching a movie and wanted to know who that actor was? I would have to want to know so bad that I'd have to wait for all the credits. All of this technology came really fast. How did that happen? And what do you believe? Remember, believe none of what you hear and half of what you read. If you like the show, I'd like to encourage you to help support the show. You can help me out with just $3 a month. Just go to the website and click on support. I would really appreciate the help and would be happy to give you a shout out. In addition to that, I will send you a beautiful UFO and Aliens podcast sticker. These are really cool and you really want one. You can put it on your laptop, your back car window, water bottle. Do you have a UFO story that you'd like to share? Is there a UFO story that you'd like for me to look into? Just send me an email at UFOandAlienPodcast@gmail.com. I'm Rick Black, and I'll talk to you next time.